We are going to start in Ephesians chapter 3. Verse, so see, this is where I always have a problem, because I want to go to like Ephesians like 3:1 and like read in, and or just go to Ephesians chapter 1 and then just read. And and especially with like Ephesians, because Ephesians is one of those books that I know it's the favorite. It's the favorite. All right. I'll just get there. Ephesians chapter 3. All right. Let's go to, this is a prayer. And I can't just break, I want to, but I can't just break into the center of his prayer. So we're going to go to 14. And we're going to see that Paul is praying a prayer over the church of Ephesus. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bow my knees. Have you bowed the knees to your King, to your God yet? Maybe that's why some of y'all might be struggling with God's supremacy in your life, with being obedient to God. Maybe you've just never bowed the knee. Maybe you just think that you don't have to do that. Try it one time. You'll like it. I promise, Mikey. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Do you know that you're named after your daddy? You know you're a junior? Isn't that cool? I'm Steve Jesus Jr. Hey man, that's awesome. You don't even have the same name as your former life. You have a different name. You know, when God changed you, he changed your name. Anybody remember Abram? Abraham? Sarai? Sarah? Paul? Saul? Peter? Cephas? And that's one of the things that God did real quick with folks, is that when he got them, he changed them. And he made them know that he knew that they knew that they were changed. You know what? They're not going to call you Steve anymore. They're calling you Stephen, the apostle. Praise God. And he didn't name me after some, you know, we're going to call you Oak after the tree that bothers me in my yard. No. He said, you know what? There's no other name that you can be named by, so I'll give you mine. So you are God Jr. That'll get you kicked out of about 92% of all churches in America right there, making that statement. That's why I had to start my own church, because they probably wouldn't take that somewhere else. You are God Jr. There is nobody else that he could have recreated you after, so he just recreated you after himself. Jesus said that I call it, that it says in Hebrews that he thought it not shameful to be named after God. He was God's son. You know what? And this is what they crucified him for. They strung him up on a tree because he said that he's God. But yet every one of us could trace our lineage back to Adam. Every single person in this room is an offspring of Adam, who is an offspring of God. So even in the natural, even if you go by your natural lineage, you're a child of God. But it goes way beyond that. In the New Testament, you don't only get the natural lineage. You're not only a son of Adam and a son of Abraham, where all the line of the blessings came through, and David and all these great men and women of God, but you're also the son of the Spirit. You're also recreated after Christ, after the Messiah, the son of God in the Spirit. You know, Jesus was the son of Mary in his body, right? Because he came from her womb. But he was the son of God in his heart, in his spirit. That's us. I am the son of Sharon in my body, but in my heart, I'm the son of God. He named me. He recreated me. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's incredible. This is why I should have went right to my scripture. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Do you see what Paul's praying? Paul's praying that they get it. You should model your prayers after the prayers in the New Testament. Don't model your prayers after the prayers in the Old Testament. Model your prayers after the prayers in the New Testament. Pray that folks get it. You don't have to pray that they get more power. You don't have to pray that they get healed. You don't have to pray that they get more love. You don't have to pray, because all that stuff's available. You need to pray they get it. Get it. I don't know how many times I've prayed for somebody. Lord, open the eyes of their understanding. help them understand how great they are in Christ Jesus. That they would grant unto you, that He would grant unto you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Yeah, I'll remind you that that Spirit was the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Praise Jesus. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You know, Christ abides or lives in you according to your faith. If you believe He's far away, you get none. If you believe He's near, that He's nigh unto you, you get it all. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. What's your root? What's your foundation? This is extremely important. Extremely important. What is your foundation? For most of us, it's the church. The tenets of the church, or the doctrines of the church, or the beliefs of the church, or, you know, my grandmommy told me, or my pappy told me this, or my, you know, my preacher when I was 14 told me this. I have to tell you that according to the Word of God, you are either rooted and grounded in love, or you are of some other gospel. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If your foundation is not in love, then everything else is askew. So what do? Cry? No. Get a revelation of love. You know what Paul is telling this church? Get a revelation of love. That you may be able, verse 18, to comprehend, understand with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. That's four dimensions. It's four dimensions. I don't know if you ever looked at that before, but humans work on three-dimensional levels. And God is saying that His love, it goes beyond that. So those of us that are looking to see the love of God here in the natural, you're missing a whole facet. There's more than that. It's more than just getting a warm fuzzy on Sunday morning at 10:14. Praise Jesus. If you could boil religion down to warm fuzzies, we'd all be scattered. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know, genosko, experience, have intimacy with, have spiritual intercourse. There's just no... I know it sounds funky, but you got to get this. This no is no. It's like more than you know anything. God wants you to know the love of Christ more than you know anything else in your life. What's your name? Quick, you know it. You're supposed to know the love of Christ more than that. More than your name, more than the back of your hand, more than your face when you look in a mirror. You're supposed to know the love of Christ and all of the facets thereof. More than you know anything. If we did, Paul is telling them, if you knew this, you'd get it. This is how you get it. You know the love. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. It goes beyond your head. Do you see that? You're supposed to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. That sounds contradictory. How do you know something that goes beyond knowledge? Because it goes beyond this plane. It goes beyond physics. It goes beyond science. It goes beyond emotional, chemical responses that people have experienced between each other. It goes so far beyond that. In fact, that's not even really a part of God's love. Those things are benefits of God's love. You will get like an emotion from God's love. You will get emotion among God's people. You can have these things, but those are not the roots. Those are the fruits. The root of God's love is in your heart, whether you feel like it or not. I cannot tell you, this is incredibly important. I cannot tell you how many times I didn't feel the love or the grace of God. And I still, by faith, operated in the love and the grace of God. So, you know, I don't care how I feel. I don't care if I'm tired. I don't care if I'm cranky. I don't care if I'm whiny. I don't care if my foot hurts. I don't care. I don't care. Because God loves me. His Word says He loves me. He bled and died for me. And then He gave me His grace and brought me into the family of God. So who cares how I feel? And I'm going to be real honest with you. You know, a child, a 5-year-old, can go by what they feel. You know, if you're an infant, you cry. because you're hungry. You cry because your diaper's wet. You cry because you're tired, which it makes sense because you're really tired. Why don't you just shut your eyes? Well, every time I see a baby crying, I see a mommy go, oh, she's just tired. Well, lay her down. She'll cry herself out. That's how we raised our kids. If they, Kay would ever say, they're tired. And I said, well, lay them down. Well, I'm going to rock them. Okay. But, you know, eventually you got to lay them down, right? Because they got to sleep. That's okay for a baby. It's okay for a baby. You expect a baby to cry about everything in her life. Okay, now, I'm going to step way out on a limb here. I'm going to say none of us in here are babies. So us crying about our situations in life is pointless. God has given us a weapon. Okay, how many people here last night before they went to bed cried? I'm tired. I need to go to bed. Or did y'all just like kind of, some of us probably just passed out after working at Aaron's house all day and doing the pizza restaurant all night. There's a bunch of folks in here just kind of got to, you know, barely made, just crawled in and you didn't cry about it, you just did it. It's the same way we should be adults now. If you're tired, go to sleep. If you're hungry, go eat. You don't have to cry about it. If you're sick, get healed. If you're not operating in peace, get peace. If you don't feel the love of God, who cares? You're still loved, whether you feel it or not. Right? Is this being hard? Is anybody's feelings hurt? Sorry, get over it. Don't cry about it. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth. And y'all thought I was coming in here to get you to pat your head, right? You know, it's just like a cat. Anybody ever heard this illustration? If you got a cat and you're holding a cat in your arms, and you know how if you pet a cat from its head to its tail, the fur all lays down to the cat's purring, and he lifts up his tail, and you get to the end, and he's purring, he lifts up the tail. You know, if you turn that cat around and you pet the other way, his hair all stands up, and he's not, you know what you do? Most people say, well, you just pet the other way. No, you turn the cat back around and pet the right way. So right now, if this doesn't feel good to you, just turn around. Repent. Repent means turn around. Change your mind, return around. So if this doesn't feel good to you, turn around. And it'll go to feeling good. It'll be like getting pet the right way. So if you're not, and the Bible says that only a fool is mad about being corrected. A fool. A wise person loves the person that corrects them. So if I'm correcting you and you're wise, you're going to love me more. Do you hate it when somebody takes his Bible and does that, dude? And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You have probably read that scripture before. Probably everybody in here has at some point even maybe accidentally stumbled across Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, and said, and seen that the Bible says that you're supposed to be full with the fullness of God. And you're not. Can we be honest in here? Is this an honest church? Is anybody in here just woke up this morning and said, man, I am full of the fullness of God. Woo! Jump out of bed, dance into the shower, sing a little ditty in there. Your wife says, shut up, I'm trying to sleep. Anybody do that today? Anybody wake up just bubbling over with the fullness of God? You know why? Because we're not rooted and grounded. If we were rooted and grounded, we would be understanding how we are full. Did you see that? Let's read that again. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, God is just. So if He says that you can be full of the fullness of God, in order for Him to be just, it has to be possible. Because if He asked you to have something that was impossible for you to have, He's just a big meanie. Right? He is not the guy that's got the little fishing pole with the carrot on the end in front of the donkey saying, oh, you can't have it, but keep walking, but you can't have it, but keep walking, but you can't have it. That's not God. God is just. If He says that He wants you full of the fullness of God, He means it. And He has provided a way. And Paul is explaining to us how to be full of the fullness of God. It is understanding the length, the breadth, and the depth and the height and to be rooted and grounded in love. In love. Now, not just love, not sensual, earthly, devilish love, but the love of God. Charity. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The love of God. So, I have from the BOCO a can of Snap tea from Snapple. And I paid 79 cents for it. Anybody see that? All right. So, let's pretend that this can represents a Christian. You're a Snapple. Some people can probably agree more than others. So, there is a world that this Christian is in. And this world is full of atmospheric pressure, temperature changes, humidity, and different things. Correct? But yet somehow this can is sealed, it's full, it's solid. You can even take this can and apply great pressure to this can. Great amounts of pressure to this can. And it's cool. In fact, you could take an almost fat person like me in cowboy boots and stand on this can of Snapple, all somewhere near 200 pounds of me, and this can is yet still amazingly fine. Or in other words, this can is resisting 200 pounds of pressure. Incredible. This little tin can. So, Zach, are you thirsty? All right. How are you at guzzling? Decent? All right. Don't get any on your Bible. This morning, what we're talking about is pressure. Almost everybody in here has probably today, probably before you even got to the church today, you have probably experienced pressure of some kind. Now, be it from peer pressure, be it from parents, from spouses, from siblings, from children, from the world. You probably are carrying the weight of the world around with you. What am I going to do about money? What is money going to do about me? What am I going to do about this bill? What's this bill going to do about me? We have all, on probably an incessant styled level, are experiencing pressure. Because most of us believe that it's just not good enough. Like our life is just, you know, it needs something. That we're missing something. Or that we're unfull, right? Because if you were full, if you were Snapple full, you could resist 200 pounds, or by general understanding, you could resist the weight of the world. You know, that can, as I was standing on it, there was atmospheric pressure hitting the sides of it. There was gravity pulling me down. There was atmospheric pressure pushing down on my head. That was pushing down on the can, but yet it didn't crush. In fact, it didn't even whine about it. Did you hear that can cry? You didn't hear it? Because it didn't cry. Pressure. Pressure. This, if you boil it down, is probably what is affecting the majority of people, the majority of Christians in their life from receiving the fullness of God in operation in their life. Pressure. Dude, your mommy has to help you guzzle. I'm okay at guzzling. So now, we have a can that just a few seconds ago, in the witness of all of you, I did pull no magic trick. I don't even know magic. I stood on a can that I just, with zero effort, crushed.
Does anybody ever think, experience, or feel as if they're just easily crushed? You're just one bad report away from just your whole life falling apart. What's the difference? This can right here. I did not change the chemical composition of this can. I did not, while you weren't looking, change it out for some other different kind of can. I did not use a different kind of aluminum. While you guys weren't looking, while you blinked, I didn't put like an extra 1,000 pounds in my boot. Same can, same boot, same 200-ish pounds. Different results. What was the difference? It wasn't full. It was empty. It was empty. The can before was full. The can after was empty. An empty can could not resist the pressure. This is the difference in the two Christians. Remember that Snapple can represented a Christian. This is the difference in two Christians who have the same God, the same Bible, the same faith, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. We all have like precious faith, the same faith that Peter had, the same faith that Jesus had, the same comforter. When you got filled with the Holy Spirit, you got the same Holy Spirit that I got. We didn't get two different Holy Spirits. You didn't get the weak one and I got the strong one. There's one Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, part in unity, and He's in you and in me at the same time. Same Holy Spirit, same fullness. The same love. God does not love me any more than He loves you. Well, there's an ongoing joke over at my parents' house about who God loves most. I always say it's me, and Jim always says it's him, and it's his house, so he always wins. But God does not love him, even though he wants to argue with me. God does not love him any more than he loves me. He doesn't love me any more than he loves you. There's nothing that I've ever done to get him to love me. So therefore, there's absolutely no way that I can get him to love me more or less. We have the same level of blessing. Oh, now, Pastor, you're off. There's no way that two Christians, when this guy's driving around in a Lexus and this guy's driving around in a 300,000-mile Toyota Tundra, there's no way that we're operating on the same blessings. We are both blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according to Ephesians chapter 1. Same blessings. Jesus Christ is the reason that we have all of these things. And according to Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you and I have everything the same. We are on equal footing because we are all in Christ Jesus, and He's the same. He's the same. And He's in you, and He's in me. And His comforter is in you and in me. But yet we have completely different results, even in this room. There are people that are operating in this room in as full of the joy of God as I've ever seen them, as full of the joy of the peace of God as I've ever seen. They're happy people. They're secure in their salvation. They walk in divine health. They have the blessings of God operating in their finances. And then there's people in this room right now that have bills that are hanging over their heads that probably didn't come here in a good mood, that are probably worn out. They don't know if they can make it through another day just living the way that they're living. Relationships in their life hanging by a thread, just waiting for the next bad response and the next bad report and the next bad day because you just had day after day after day. But yet everybody in this room has the same Holy Spirit, the same Savior, the same love, the same blessings. What's the difference? Pressure. And the fullness or lack thereof. Our level of understanding of the promises of God is equivalent to the manifestation and operation of those promises in our lives and environment. I'll say that again. That's very important. Our level of understanding of the promises of God is equivalent to the manifestation and operation of those promises in our lives and our environments. You have the same promises that I have. You can walk in the same divine health that I walk in. God didn't give me something special outside of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I have the exact same special that you have. Okay, now if it hits, it fits, all right? If this is real, it's real. We're either in here goofing around, playing church, or this is real. This is legitimate. This is right. Either the Word of God is true, or it's not. Either Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and either we all got the same Spirit, we all have the same Savior, we all have the same opportunities, or we don't. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Just a few verses later. Let's go down to 20. Go 20. But you have not so learned Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. There is truth in Jesus. What does this truth help us with? That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. You know, there's a fellow that died. You know, there was a funeral that took place on your heart. If you've been born again, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then there was a funeral that took place, as well as a birth. A birth and a funeral took place at the same moment. There was an old person on the inside of you that died, and there was a new person created in the image of God that was born. It was a new creature, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new creation. In Christ Jesus, all things, the old things passed away and everything became new. So there was a dead guy that died and there was a new guy or a new creature that was born that was in the very image of God. And I cannot tell you how many times I talk to a Christian and they are telling me how resurrected that old dead man is. And it, you see that there's a key here in this verse that says, and the conversation that ye put off concerning the former conversation. You know, there's a saying that that guy cusses like a sailor. You know, there's a reason for that, because sailors are known for cussing. They have a known style of conversation. Your old man, your dead person, has an old style of conversation. If the only thing that changed the day that you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart was the date, then you have not accepted the reality of what God has prepared for you in salvation. There was a person that died. There's a dead person that was buried, that was done away with. That's what baptism is about. Water baptism says that you die and you go down in the oldness of death, and you come up in the newness of life. The person that comes out of the water left the old dead person in the water, and you come out a new creation. That's what it represents. That's what water baptism represents. And we should all be representing that in our conversation. If you have the same, if you are at ease and completely at home talking to your completely dead, unborn-again neighbor and having a conversation for 2 hours about the same things that they're talking about and on the same level, and, oh, yeah, I know the government, and, oh, I know the money, and, oh, I know I'm going to lose hours, and if anybody gets laid off, it's going to be me, and did you hear the flu bugs coming around, and, oh, man, did you hear about the tornadoes? I hope they don't hit my house. You can sit there for 2 or 3 hours and have a conversation with somebody who is in a completely different universe than you. You know what? I cannot show up right now in backwoods Japan and have a conversation with anybody. I don't know Japanese. I know that sounds funny, but I don't know Japanese. There are a lot of conversations that I have with people who I know are not born again that I'm
clueless. They're telling me about the TV shows, and they're telling me about the movies, and they're telling me about all the bad things that are happening. Did you hear the news about the, No, I didn't. I don't know about the movie. I don't watch TV. Well, you know, when you have, when you're taking this kind of medicine, no, I don't know. I don't take medicine. I ain't taking a pill in 20 years. Don't plan on it. I take the gospel. I cannot converse with these people, and they walk away like I'm from a different planet. Because I am. I'm an alien to this planet. I'm different. You're different. You should not be able to easily converse with somebody who's dead. They have a language that's dead. They know that they're dying. Their body confesses it. Their mouth confesses it. Their mind confesses it. What are you supposed to be full of? You're supposed to be full of a conversation that's based in the understanding, rooted and grounded in the four facets of love. If you really believed you're loved, you're not going to believe you're going to die. If you really believe that God loves you, really, really believe that God loves you, and you can put faith in His love, well then, how can a tornado, how can a wimpy little F5 tornado come and do any damage to you? Seriously. You know how many people I know that can tell you, I can give you phone numbers right now, people that I know that are Christians that stand on the Word of God that have had tornadoes jump their houses. Jump them. Skip them. Like over it, just like a kid playing hopscotch. No damage, no windows blown out. I know somebody that lost a branch one time on a tree. Every neighbor all the way around them, I've seen it with my own eyes, every single house was flat. One house standing there and he had some stuff in the yard, some trash blew into the yard. He had one branch on a tree that was like this. House is beautiful, not a broken window, no nicks out of the brick. All the shingles were on his roof. Oh, Pastor, that's just a coincidence. Mm-hmm. It is a coincidence. It's an absolute coincidence. It's crazy. Or maybe the Word of God is true, and maybe they believed it. And maybe they were full, and irregardless of the amount of pressure that was attacking their lifestyle, maybe they resisted it. Maybe that 200-pound fat guy stood on top of them, and they pushed back. Maybe. Maybe the neighbors didn't. Maybe it's a coincidence. You tell me. Amen. God did not leave us helpless. God gave us the ability and the power to affect change in this present evil world. He knows we're here. He's not dense. It says that He knows the feelings of our afflictions. He knows where we're at. He knows what's going on in our life. He gave us the power, the ability to resist. Resist. And be renewed, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit, which is, that word is attitude or mental disposition of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know why the world affects you? Because your mind is stayed on the world. If you keep your mind stayed on God, according to Isaiah 26, it says, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me, because he trusteth in me. If your mind is stayed on God, and your trust is stayed on God, then you operate in perfect peace. So if you're sitting right here right now and you're telling me that you're not operating in perfect peace, it's not God's fault. Don't blame him. Get your mind on, keep your mind on, and stay your mind on God. You know, if you stay focused on the hugeness of God, then the little tiny problems of this life are just senseless. Andrew Womack says one time that he was complaining and God said, what are you doing? He said, I'm telling you how it is. He said, that's the same way as that. Let's pretend you're a gnat and I'm an elephant. You can either be a gnat sitting on the back of an elephant and saying, oh, woe is me, look how small I am. Or you can be sitting on the back of the elephant and saying, golly, it's a big elephant. Huge. He says, quit talking about how small you are. Quit talking about how big your problems are. Quit talking about how much you don't have and start talking about how big I am. If you concentrate on the bigness of God, you will not remember the littleness of you. Amen. This is really good stuff. Amen.
We have had our focus on the wrong things. We've had our focus, our mind, on the dead guy. Don't be thinking about the dead guy. Think about the guy, the new man in you that is full of God, that has been loved by God, that has been experiencing the grace of God, and is full of all the fullness of God. You know what all the fullness of God did? Created a universe with a word, light. Boom, universe. That's God. And He's in you. Tell me again about the problem. What was it again? What was that thing that was hanging over your head? Tell me what's going on in your life God can't solve. Anybody? No? Verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In the midst of your problem, are you thinking about that new person who was created in right standing with God and with holiness of God? You know what holiness means? Holiness means that you are separated unto the use of God. When the old priests in the Old Testament would take the articles of the worship and they would sanctify them or make them holy, that means that those things were set aside for the specific purpose of using them in the temple for God. And then God says, that's us. You were specifically created to be loved by and to return love to your Creator. That's it. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus, created for the purpose of loving and beloved. Loving and beloved. Loving and beloved. But if we can convince you that that old man's important and that all the worries of this life are weighing on you and they're putting pressure on you, and if we can get you to just pop the seal on that Snapple can, just pop the seal a little bit and get rid of a little bit of Snapple, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more. You know, it's not going to be like all up in your face. You realize this, right? It's going to be real subtle. Going to be a little sip here. And a little bitty sip over here. And then somebody takes a guzzle. Oh, but you remember that, and so you try to get back up. But then a little sip, a little sip. Verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. I always looked at that and I said, oh God, I'm sorry, I won't lie no more. You know what that's actually saying? Put away lying. Don't lie. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're actually lying when you say, well, I'm just a human. I'm just human. Have you anybody ever heard that? Well, why don't you operate in healing? Well, I'm just human. No, you're not. You were just healing and God had mercy on you and recreated you. Now you're junior. God junior. You're created in the image of Christ. You were just human. That's true. You were affected by the things of this world. You were worldly powered, but now you're God powered. You were just human. That's true. But according to the Bible, you're lying if you're talking about who you were. You know, God is faithful and just, who calls those things that be not as though they were. You know, God talks future. He doesn't talk past. You know, He doesn't even remember your sins. You know, there's only one person on this planet that knows what you did wrong, as you. He doesn't even have a recollection of it. He has forgotten on purpose. You know, God can do something you can't do. He can forget. That's incredible. How many of you right now are sitting in here thinking that God is thinking about that thing that you did? That thing. You know that thing I'm talking about. He's thinking about that thing that you did, and that's the reason you're not going to get any peace. No joy for you. I'm not going to love you because of the thing. Most of us have dealt with God on this level based upon our actions. But see, here's the thing, and that's true if God can remember your sins, but He says your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. So which is true? Whether that thing is standing between you and the love and the peace and the joy of God, or whether you think that thing is standing there. Whether you think. It's right here, beloved. It's right between these two mud flaps on the side of your head. This is where it's taking place. You either believe that you are the gnat sitting on top of the elephant and you're going to tell the elephant how huge he is, or you're going to be the gnat sitting on back of the elephant and talking about how small you are. Decide. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I'm not going to preach on that. You laughing at me, baby. Neither, you want me to preach on it? I can't preach on everything. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Okay, now I got to ask you something. If the devil's so strong and he's so powerful and he's got so much control and influence and he can do anything he wants to in your life, why doesn't he? Well, he does, Pastor. Really? Because he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. You dead? Well, no, not barely. I'm just making it. No. If it was up to him, you wouldn't have seen the outside of your mother's womb. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Anybody ever heard of abortion? It works on some folks. You're here, so therefore, he can't do anything he wants to with you. The devil cannot do anything to you any more than God will make you do anything for him. God loves you and gives you so much grace that you can just deny him all the way to hell. The entire time God wanting you to be a part of his family and going to heaven, but he loves you and you have authority over your own life and you can just take yourself right on to hell. In the same way, the devil cannot exercise any authority or dominion over you, because if he could, he'd take everybody to hell. But you know that there are Christians like me in this world that are denying him the right to take me to hell. So therefore, he can't do anything to me any more than God can make me do anything to, because I have been given a free will. So, resist the devil. Neither give place to the devil. I'm going to make a statement that you probably never heard at church. Our problem is not the devil. You've probably never heard that in a single church in your life. Our problem is not the devil. Okay, church is over. I've got to go. Let's go to James chapter 4, verse 7. I'm going to prove that that statement is not blasphemy. James is right before Revelation. Let's just go to Revelation and back up two books. Four books, six books. James chapter 4, and I want you to see this in your own Bible so you don't think I made it up. James chapter 4, verse 7, Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Does your Bible say what my Bible says? The understood subject of this sentence is you. You submit to God. You resist the devil. You cannot pray God to do something about the devil. Because, I don't know if you know this or not, but Jesus won. I don't know if you got that message called Apek Duomai. You need to get that message about this big victory that Jesus did over the devil. Jesus beat the devil. So he won. So you praying to God to do something about the devil is kind of redundant, because Jesus done already did the devil. He beat him hard, fast, quick, and forever. So here we have James, the Apostle James, telling us that we need to yield unto God, submit unto God, and resist the devil. Or in other words, you focus on God and not the devil. If you focus on the devil, then you give him operation in your life. This is one of the most important things you need to understand in your whole life. I'm about to make an incredible statement. The devil cannot do anything to you without your consent and cooperation. Period. That might be one of the most important statements you've ever heard in your entire life. The devil cannot, not will not, not does not, cannot do anything to you without your consent and cooperation. Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." If you're yielding to him, you're experiencing death. If you're yielding to God, you're experiencing righteousness.
It's very simple. Deuteronomy 39:19 says, "Behold, I place before you this day, let it be recorded in heaven. I have placed before you life and death, blessings and cursings." And because He's so gracious, He tells us in the next verse, choose life. He gives us the answer to the test. It's like a test. A, death. B, life. Choose life. Amen. You have to choose. You have to keep the dead man in a grave, and you have to be focused on the new man. The new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. We just read that in Ephesians 4:24. You were created in righteousness and true holiness, not some kind of fake holiness, not some kind of surface holiness, truly, all the way through. If a piece of metal is true, that means it's metal all the way through. There's no air in it. There's no pot metal in it. Humble yourselves. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, because He cares for you. You don't have to be doing the caring, because He's supposed to be doing it for you. Casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There it is, Pastor. I thought you said that we don't have a problem with the devil. We do have an adversary. I'm not arguing that there's not an adversary. What I'm arguing is that he has been given or not given the right to operate in your life by you. You obviously have an adversary. We have people that are out to get us. But you don't have to lay on the tracks and let the train hit you. Get off the tracks. Dear Jesus, don't crack your can open and let out the pressure. Stay full of God, and you can resist the devil, and he will flee. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Whom resist? Whom push back? Push back! All the time people are telling me all the pressures that are on them. Push back! Put some pressure back! You know, I said this before, why don't you remind the devil about his future? You know, there's a big, deep, dark pit, dude. And it's full of temperatures that go beyond science. And you're going to be there forever. Now, what was that you were going to do to me again? Remind me. Remind me how cool you are. Remind me how strong you are. You remember Jesus? Ooh. Yeah, I remember that guy. He came down here and made a mess. Why don't you remind him about how big God is? Instead of him reminding you about how big he is. You know, he's an imp. At the end of time, we're actually going to look at him and say, this is the guy that deceived the nations? This is the guy? Come on, beloved. Resist. Push back. You have the fullness of God available to you on the inside. Push back. Take the Word of God. Take this sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take your shield of faith that can quench every fiery dart. And go at it. Man, I tell you. I'm out there mowing the lawn sometimes and I'm saying I'm getting all them demons. That's what I feel like. In the spirit world, I feel like I'm this lawnmower and the devil's just a blade of grass. What is he going to do? Get out of the way? He can't. He's rooted. Is he going to resist the blade? I'll fight you, blade of lawnmower. Yeah, good luck. Good luck. Have fun with that because I got 15 horses that are about to trample you. You see them dandelions? You know, put flowers in my yard. Sorry, I know Cindy likes yellow, but I hate dandelions. That dandelion is the same thing as the devil or some demon standing in my way. I'm riding a lawnmower. I'm riding Jesus. I have the fullness of God on the inside of me. You're telling me a flower is going to get in my way? Come on. Come on. The grass withereth, the flower fades, but the word of God shall stand forever. There hath no temptation taken you. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, you cannot, he doesn't have an extra special dose of temptation that he throws on you and you succumb. You cannot be tempted with anything more that I've been tempted with, that Jesus was tempted with, that Kay was tempted with. You cannot be tempted with anything more. You get the same temptations. You just meditate on yours longer and then fall. I don't.
When he comes to me, I cast down every thought and imagination that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Oh, did you hear about all the flu going around? You better go get your flu shot. I am. I'll get my flu shot. By his stripes, I am healed. Shot. Are you going to get a flu shot? I already took my flu shot. I got the gospel. What are you going to do? Well, I'll go and get a flu shot because I got the flu last year. Okay, well, have fun with that. I hope it works. You know how many people I know got the flu shot and then ended up with the flu? It's like gambling. Go get your flu shot and see if you catch the flu. If you don't catch it the first time, you might get it the second time when it actually comes around. You ever read the side effects of those pills on TV? You ever see listen to the little side print after they say the commercial on the radio or something? And after you take this Advil, then you could have loose stools and all kinds of other problems. I'm like, dear Jesus, take the headache. It's better than loose stools and emphysema and all this other stuff that comes along with a pill. They know, my mom will tell you, she's worked for doctors for nearly all her life. She said they practice medicine. And some of them aren't very good. They need practice. And you're the pincushion. Good luck. Maybe you get to heaven quicker than somebody else. Amen. Resist. Fight back. He cannot do anything to you without your consent and cooperation. Amen. I have a lot more, but I got to stop because it's time to stop. So, can we remember? Is this a good illustration for us to remember how important it is for us to push back? You can either be the can full or you can be the can empty and crushed. You can resist because you are full of God, according to Ephesians 3. Or you can empty yourself out by being concerned about the things of the world, the things of this planet, all the problems of life, and you can allow the world to suck from you all of your sweet tea. Or whatever it was. Amen? Amen. And if you want to know the other half of the sermon, I'll be happy to tell it to you after the service.